I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to the 425th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and I brought together the team of dreams because it's early this Saturday morning. We brought together the man, the whale himself, Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello.
And we've also got we've got the extraordinary game master himself, Lydian.
Good morning.
Guten Tag. All right. And on that note, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Welcome to the show if you're new. We really appreciate you checking us out. We're the show that talks about everything about Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to, I don't know.
Pokemon Wild Type?
Pokemon, what did you call it? Wild Heart? Is that what it's called?
Wild Type.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Game. Yeah.
The OG fighting game from
the fan-made
The fan-made fighting game that they totally stole some of the inspiration for Pokken.
Yep. Except they didn't give us Swalot.
They didn't give us Swalot. That's true.
Oh, man. That takes me back to playing that in the, computer lab and hoping no one looked.
Yeah, I remember that game. I do remember Pokemon Wild Type. But yeah, we have a good time. We have a good show lined up for you today. We're very excited to do it. I'm back from my trip to the wintry north, to the Crown Tundra.
The land of Christmas.
The land of Christmas. That is what we'll call it. The land of Christmas. Christmas in January. I am not an Orthodox Christian, but it is Christmas in January. But on that note, how have you guys been? What have you been up to? How's the party?
Oh, I don't think it's been much, just doing UTC prep.
I've been doing prep, but I definitely don't have a team ready, so I will be using a rental team in my first match this weekend.
I didn't, and I just kind of had some mods that were, built that I've had, just competitive sets on stuff, and I just used that for round one.
To be fair, this is a format where I think that'll work in Battle Stadium singles.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually really need a full team. Like, if the matchup's right, you really only need three Pokemon.
Generally, yeah. If this is what it comes down to, you need, either, one or two heavyweight things, and the other, four can be, they can be just supporters.
A little bit more flexible.
Whatever.
You can just put a Seismitoad you caught in the wild on your team and scare the Dracovish away. That's all you need to do.
It's it's a mental game, too. There's all the threat of, throwing a Shedinja on, and then, oh, what if they bring that and I don't have anything to hit it?
Yeah.
There's always that mentality too, little things like that.
I should bring a Shininja just 1 week to have fun. Just to really mess with somebody.
At least one mod on my team will be just a joke every week if I can have help. But this week wasn't really a meme, but it was just a fun test set.
Who'd you play?
I played against Shi.
Oh, yeah. Have you played yet or no?
Yeah, we already battled. Yeah.
Oh, did you win?
I brought that was I did it with a 2-1.
Okay.
Mimikyu is a annoying thing to deal with.
Mimikyu is annoying. Mimikyu's annoying, and then Mimikyu's a big pain in the butt.
It just hurts when it's it Dynamax, and then it has a sub up still effectively, and it's just
it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I was playing some Battlespot Stadium singles before the show today, and I ran into the techiest Hydreigon I had ever seen. It was Taunt Hydreigon with Substitute, Dark Pulse, and Flash Cannon.
That's
wow.
Yeah.
That's wow. I don't know if I'd call that techie. The one taunt is tech. The other two moves are kind of stand. Like,
I think it's literally just to. I think it's literally just to beat Corsola. I think it's literally just to beat Corsola.
Well, like sub Nasty Plot's a thing, and they. I think they always run Dark Pulse now.
Yeah, but it's sub Nasty Plot Dark Pulse.
Yeah,
he didn't actually have Nasty Plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only weird thing that I ran taunt instead of Nasty Plot, but like.
I was very confused.
Sub Dark Pulse Flash Cannon is a thing. I guess they probably ran taunt for things like Corsola. Like, they probably ran it for things that either just do.
Corsola is a problem. Corsola is a huge problem, especially since, like, knockoffs on, like, three Pokemon now. And.
Oh, yeah. One of the three Pokemon is insanely good with it, essentially, too. So, it's
yeah,
like,
knockoff.
And actually, completely. The one Pokemon that I know of that gets it, effectively counters Corsola, like, one of two ways, depending on what Corsola does.
Knockoff is scary, like, limited this gen. It's really scary limited.
They cut it from a lot of Pokemon that I'm like, I don't know, like, Bisharp
I guess.
Is the prime example. It's
yeah.
Like, why?
I guess.
Why did you cut that from this?
To be fair, Bisharp never learned it, like, naturally, to begin with. So, like, it lost it because it's a lack of a level up. That's what it is. It's a lack of a level up move, and so it lost it. I don't think it ever even got it from breeding.
We'll probably get it back once tutor moves come back, and then obviously we'll get it, and then we'll like
we'll
why this move here.
I hope.
Yeah,
why couldn't this stay cut?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm hoping it comes back with the new tutors in the Isle of Armor. Isle of Armor has a lot of things that can, I think, not fix per se, but I feel like what they're trying to do now is they're like, here's a base game where it's a new fun way to play, and then they just slowly migrate us back to the old ways. Like, over a course of 2 years. That's what I'm expecting. Like, I fully expect by, like, the time that, by the end of 2021, we're just back to, like, Lando T 1v1, Lando T is scary, and a bunch of other random stuff. I wouldn't be surprised. Hidden Power comes back because it, but it's only learnable by unknown, and.
That's okay.
I'm okay with that, honestly.
I don't want hidden power back for everything. I don't. I like playing a meta without everyone having coverage.
I'm actually really happy with it. Cause, like, there's definitely, especially with some of the Pokemon they put in, like Dracovish. Like, Dracovish would be terrifying if it got hidden power, in my opinion. Like,
does it have a base attack, a special attack of like 70?
Yeah, but
it's even then,
like, just as running tech, and, like, it depends on how Hidden Power would work with Dynamax as well, right? Like,
well, with Dynamax, it's scary. And yeah. That's the thing. Because we know with multi-type, it works with multi-attack will change the max move depending on what type the Metalite is. So Hidden Power would do the same thing.
Yep.
Presumably.
Because, like, when you go to Dynamax, technically, it's, like, max strike, but it changes to, like, whatever type.
That would be the terrifying part. I would be very terrified by that, hands down.
Like, the only thing with Dracovish would be the fact that you can get, like, a speed boost, which is scary, but...
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's not gonna hit hard.
Oh, man, I don't think I've ever seen anybody run Hidden Power Flying to begin with, so that would be fun, actually.
It was ran on a few things that were, like, special that didn't get a flying move.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was, like, I think, like, the one that the genies used it just to, like, get stab flying.
Yeah.
Or Sundress or something like that. I don't remember, but I just remember that was a thing that they would run it for either random coverage or to get stab. I think Keldeo had an option for it for I think it was the one that Adley ran like electric or flying, I think at one point, depending on the meta. It was like, this might have been Gen 5 too. I don't remember for sure. I know it ran electric for like anti-rain.
I can see
that was a thing back in the Weather Wars.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I'd love to see more. I do like a hidden powerless meta though right now. Just give unknown something. Just give unknown something.
Yeah, just let unknown have it. Everything else doesn't get it.
Dude, that'd be cool. Actually, that'd be really fun if unknown was the only one that got hidden power. I'd be super into that.
Power.
You would only run psychic and you run specs. That's what unknown does.
Well, yeah, but it's also an unknown and it's not good. So I'm not worried about
unknown.
It.
Something bad has happened.
Unknown exists solely for collection. Like, it exists solely for collection, and I'm okay with Pokemon that exists solely for collection. Because hashtag gotta catch them all.
Should we talk about that one person who probably is trying to catch every pattern of Spinda?
No, we shouldn't talk about that person at all. Patterns of Spinda are not something you should try to catch all of. Because Pokemon was smart in not defining those as like different forms.
Yep.
Or that would have been horrible. That would have been, you gotta talk about the person who wants to catch every form of spin to like a shiny, you know? That's the person I feel sorry for.
I don't feel sorry. They brought this on themselves.
You brought this pain upon yourself. Yeah, but on that note, anything else going on with anything? I don't think so. I mean, just UTC, party and.
Yeah. I had my match.
Yeah. Did you win?
No.
Good.
I didn't, without going too much, because I do want to keep bringing that team, there's some very specific counterplay, and it turns out my opponent was aware of it. That was me losing game two. So game one, strategy works, totally great. Game two, did not work. And then game three, I tried to feint that I didn't bring it, and he called my bluff. So that was not excellent.
I really like this format. Like, it's a nice change of pace from OU. It's a nice change of pace, and it kind of brings back the like, the lack of team preview that we had in Gen 4 prior to Platinum version, because team preview didn't exist, and so you didn't know what the person had in the back, and so you can pull those shenanigans again. And as a man that really liked Motor Drive Electivire, it warms my heart. I miss my Motor Drive Electivire being able to work. So
they added team preview in the same generation. They added Zoroark, who then couldn't take advantage of a game. Yeah, no, Gen 5.
No, they added team preview in Platinum. It was a big deal. I remember very vividly.
I just remember it wasn't a thing in Diamond and Pearl. And
it was not a thing in Diamond and Pearl. It wasn't a thing in Diamond and Pearl, but it was in Platinum and in HeartGold SoulSilver. It wasn't until, they did play VGC, I think, 1 year with Diamond and Pearl. Don't quote me on that, because I think that was right around the time VGC like started their circuit. Yeah. So I don't remember if it started with Diamond and Pearl or with Platinum.
I believe it was, Diamond and Pearl? I don't know, actually.
If it started with Diamond and Pearl, barely anybody played it.
Yeah, it wasn't very publicized, I think, at that point.
Barely anybody played it, because like the first one, I remember like the first like big quote unquote like world championships were essentially like in 2005 or 2004 with Leaf Green Fire Red, which is weird to think about, because that one required a link cable, and we're almost kind of back to that, but don't worry, it's okay.
So I looked it up because I was interested. The first game was in 2009, Pokemon Platinum.
Yeah, Platinum came before HeartGold SoulSilver, so yep. Platinum had team preview. I remember that day very vividly, because that changed, like, that was a huge change for competitive Pokemon. That was huge. Gen 4 brought a lot of good things to Pokemon that made Pokemon what it is. And I think it's underappreciated in that regard a lot of the time, because without Gen 4, we wouldn't have team preview. We wouldn't have the physical special split. And all of these things made modern Pokemon what it is today. It was not the kindest breeding. It was not the kindest for breeding, but it was okay otherwise. Power items existed though back then, so like you could do the power item stuff. That was always good. On that note though, let's go ahead and switch it on over, kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. The news has a few things in it. It's been a pretty slow week, actually, for Pokemon. I've been really surprised by that. So we've got a little bit of news. Well, first is being that we actually got the end dates for the Gigantamax series right now for Colossal, Lapras, Alcremie, and there's two more that I already forgot.
Flapple, Appleton.
Flapple and Appleton. That's it. And so Alcremie ends earlier than the rest of them, oddly enough, on January 30th. So that's literally like this Thursday.
Yeah.
So if you don't have Gigantamax Alcremie, like go get it this week. It's going to be much easier to find it until the 30th. Go do it before Thursday.
And I think as of right now is the only way to get the variation of the colors on it.
Yeah.
Because the other one, the pink strawberry, though, they are all strawberry as the candy.
Yeah, which is disappointing.
It is very disappointing.
It's really disappointing to me just because, like, they gave Alcremie, like, a bajillion forms already anyway. And in its Gigantamax, it includes all of the decorations in it.
Yeah, I just think that means we're going to get the Alcremie event multiple times.
That's very reasonable. You know what? That's very reasonable.
We'll get Clover Sweet at another point. We'll get, worry. It just probably means we're getting this multiple times.
Two of them that are also technically, like, locked overall in game, I think with, like, the ribbon and the star, can get it all.
Yeah.
So those are probably going to be event locked too at some point. Mm-hmm. Or we'll get them in the DLC.
All I can think is how lame.
It is.
How lame of an event is that?
Well, that's why it wasn't the only event, right? Still threw other Pokemon at it.
No, I'm really happy with the way they do this. I mean, everything else that's not Alcremie ends on February 6th, by the way. So I do expect that we're going to get some kind of, like, Pokemon news drop by or on the 6th of February.
We probably will. We'll get an update about Home and stuff like that.
They said they were going to talk about Home before it comes out, and they said it's coming out in February, and that to me means it's coming out February 27th.
Probably the end of the month.
It's a leap year this year. It could be the 29th.
No, 27th. Yeah. It's the 27th because that's Pokemon Day.
I know.
The 29th, nobody cares about the 29th. Pokemon doesn't care about the 29th. They care about the 27th because that's Pokemon Day.
I was just saying they could delay it.
Speaking of Pokemon Day, if you're just like, man, I can't do anything to celebrate, I wish Netflix sure would help me celebrate Pokemon Day. Man, oh, are boy. You going to be disappointed. Oh. So Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution is making its way to Netflix on February 27th, 2020 globally, except for Japan and South Korea, because those two countries already got it. Now it's dubbed. This is a 3D CG remake of the original movie Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, and it is going to be as magical as it sounds. That's my answer. Magical as it sounds.
And if it doesn't sound magical, congratulations, you got the joke.
I'm really disappointed because, like, I've seen clips from this movie. I'm not saying that the art is bad per se. It's a little weird with, like, the character movements. The stills look really nice. The character movements are really odd, though, and it's really, really odd. I'm also really disappointed that it's not, like, a faithful, like, one-to-one recreation. It's like this. Yeah. It's like this weird thing where it's trying to be a new thing, but it doesn't want to do that at all, and. So, like, we're missing things like the Viking joke didn't make it in, which is really depressing. The Viking joke's gone.
It looks like someone animated the Smash. The Smash announcement trailers.
Yeah.
To a full movie, and I don't like that.
This movie is legitimately, like, when they announced it, if coming out in Japan, like, about a year ago now, I was just like, but why? Who asked for this? Nobody wanted this. And so it's coming out. You can go watch that, the first movie, or you can just watch the first movie animated, and it's actually back when the animation was really, really cool in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if they're the same length? Are they, like, the exact...
I don't know if it's the exact same length, because it does cut out some parts, and they did have to redo... They did redo the voices. Like, if you watch the American... Yeah. The English trailer, they're using the new voice actors, and they're not reusing, like, the Veronica Taylor voice in it or anything.
Can I just imagine? Mm-hmm. What if you played it side by side?
I do think they got Dan Green back, though, for Mewtwo, which is kind of surprising.
If they did, it's worth watching, then, but, like...
Dan Green doesn't do a lot anymore.
No.
No, he does not.
The Mewtwo voice at least sounds very... It's very faithful to the Dan Green Mewtwo. I don't know if it is Dan Green, but it's very faithful to Dan Green. Mm. The Dan Green Mewtwo. So I do... I mean, in that regard, I guess it's cool. They do make the lab. The thing that's very very eye-catching for me is, like, they have shots of, like, the lab that Mewtwo's in, and they make so much of it look like the Detective Pikachu lab, which makes me... which just is just like, okay, I'm a little sad, but that's okay.
So they're trying to make it like that, especially canon in that world. They're trying to make Detective, like, Ash and Detective Pikachu in the same, like...
I don't know what canon. They're trying to do with the Detective Pikachu movie, honestly. I
don't know. That's what that makes it sound like they're trying to do with that. Unless it was just assets they had. Like, who knows?
The reason Detective Pikachu happened is because Nintendo was very wary of video game movies ever since Super Mario.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. after Super Mario.
I don't know what you're talking about. That is an amazing movie with no flaws.
There's so many, like, the production story's my favorite. They just show up drunk all the time, and they try to make a movie. It's fine. you have to be drunk if you want to enjoy it. So, yeah, there you go. So, but they were very wary, and so when Pokemon Go happened and exploded, you know, they're just like, let's try to get the rights to, like, make a Pokemon movie, and they were just like, here's some property we're not going to do anything with anyway, and they threw Detective Pikachu at them, some game that they only released in Japan and never in the U.S. And then they, like, went to it, and I guess they got excited, so they released the game, which was not very good, in my opinion.
No, it was not.
And they said, yeah, let's do that. Now we're getting Detective Pikachu 2. We're all excited about that, right?
You know, I am on a morbid level.
On a morbid... It's going to have a different ending than the movie. So we'll see how that goes.
I just wonder what they're going to do with it. Like, where are they going to take it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I from a story aspect, like, I want to know how it's going to be different. I do just want to know how it's going to be different. Otherwise, yeah, I just want to know how it's going to be different. But yeah, there you go. You can go watch that movie and cry yourself to sleep after you watch it. There is no Pikachu short, which is also sad.
That's the sad part, actually.
You want to know what's really sad?
Hmm.
Not like in any of the re-releases of the movies, like the first three movies, like they don't include the shorts.
Yep, it was tragic.
Yeah, so you can't watch Snorlax be stronger than you, and it's really depressing. Because, like, I went out and I bought the Blu-ray set for the first three movies. Because, honestly, those are my favorite. I really enjoy those. And the animation style is definitely different than Pokemon movies after that. And I really enjoy it. And so it was actually with Bo. I went and got it with Bo. And
I remember that. I think we got it at around the same time. I might have shown you or something like that. Because I remember seeing, like, the Steelbook one.
Right? Yeah, the Steelbook one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they made it for other ones, too.
I never understood the power of Blu-ray until I bought those Blu-rays. I will be completely honest. I was just, cause like Bo and I put it in, we're just like, wow, this looks really clear and sharp. And he's just like, yeah, it does. This looks really nice. It was a good time. Other than that, if you want to celebrate more things like the Lunar New Year, like everybody. Pokemon Go is doing a Lunar New Year event right now where more red Pokemon show up than usual, including Fungus, Magmar, Magikarp, and many, many more. And this is going on until February 3rd. So you can go ahead and just go and have fun. They also added new red Pokemon to 7 kilometer eggs, including Darumaka.
That's the big boy.
Yeah. They're just leaking in a lot of new Gen 5 stuff. They're doing a nice slow rollout for Gen 5. And I'm honestly not mad about it. Like, do what you want to do. My other favorite thing about Pokemon Go is they're doing a really, really cool thing right now, which is they're allowing democracy to take over Community Day. It's not super exciting, but it's there. So on February 1st, they're going to open up votes for the next Community Day. You can vote for either Vulpix, Machop, Rhyhorn, or Dratini to be the community. I like that Dratini's an option, as it has already been like a Community Day Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's been like 2 years since it was in a Community Day.
Yeah.
And I do like having people get the opportunity to do it again 2 years later. So yeah, so you can get Dratini. It does get superpower as its move, which is really weird when it evolves into Dragonite. You can also get Rhydon and Rhyperior will get Rock Wrecker. Machamp will get Payback for Machop, which is honestly garbage and not what
utterly.
You shouldn't be running that whatsoever on your Machop. And so I personally want to vote for Machop just for those sweet, sweet Machop candies, because I don't have Machop in like my biome whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And Machamp's a good Pokemon for trying to raid and do gyms and stuff, and I have a bunch of Machamp, but it's hard to get the candy to power them up. So I would really like to, I'd really like Machop literally for that reason, because none of the others are special to me. I've heard rumblings that like people are going to vote for Rhyhorn and Dratini. It also, the voting is based on like the amount of unique field research that happens on February 1st, which is next Saturday, which is confusing. And it's going to be announced on February 3rd. So very fun. It's an interesting thing to do. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's an interesting thing to do. Also, Pokemon Go announced like a bunch of Safari Zones randomly as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like including one in St. Louis on March 27th to March 29th. You can go to St. Louis and pay $12 and $12 or $18 to go to the Safari Zone.
Uh-huh. And there's one in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, and Philadelphia. Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's a really cool thing to try, and I might go to St. Louis. It depends. My wife has to see if she can get the day off that Saturday, and if she does, we might go with some friends, including Ryan. Hi, Ryan. Also, new guy. Hi, Mark. There we go. We did it. I remembered today.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. Mark is the new one. We gotta get that going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. On that note, Mark could or could not be real. Yeah. Other than that, I think that's pretty much all of the news. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Shamu. Yeah.
There's the 2020 World Championships were announced where they're
going to be
held. They're going to be at the XL, or at the, that's weird.
It's
XL
just XL.
London. It says XL London in London.
It's probably like a building or something. Yeah.
It probably is. But they will be in London this year, August 14th to the 17th. So
yay.
They finally announced that, which it makes sense. It's cool.
That's about the date it usually is. And they were very excited to like get it out of the U.S. this year.
The UK. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were very excited to get out of North America. And I think London's the right place to do it.
Especially with Galar. It makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about it like that. Next year, it's going to be held on the Isle of Man.
No, we'll already have Crown Tundra. It'll just be in Scotland.
No, Crown Tundra comes in the fall next year.
Next year.
Oh yeah, next year. That's right. Never mind. I got my head all screwed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'll be in Ireland because we'll get new DLC in Ireland.
Where you get to join Resistant Weight.
Oh. There's some kind of boundary conflict going on between two different evil teams. It's not going well. A lot of electrodes, a lot of electrodes on cars crossing the border. It's not going well. Yep. And on that note, we're done with that joke.
There.
Other than that, not much else in the news. Puckle wise, I do want to make an announcement that on our Patreon we've added some more stretch goals, and I only want to mention it because I think this next stretch goal is like really really cool.
Really close.
well, not that one. We are $14 away from $850. Where Ashwat and I are going to be voicing a playthrough of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, the remake. So that would be very cool. I want to be forced to play a Mystery Dungeon game. So I really hope that maybe we can push that over the finish line soon. If you're questioning about that, a lot of Patreon stuff that I want to talk about here today. The other one is for at the $1,200 goal. This is like way down the line. I don't think this is happening like tomorrow or anything. But if we hit $1,200, what I really want to do is I do want to do that like huge tournament of that huge tournament between the staff.
Oh yeah, the 16 men we were talking, I think, was being mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking like 16 men because I think there's 10 people in the Viridian Guild, and we've got a bunch of mods,
mm-hmm.
and we can go ahead, invite them, do a staff tournament, capture footage either on Showdown or I'm hoping Kart because Kart's more fun to watch.
Kart would be fun, mm-hmm. yeah.
And you can go ahead and then I'll commentate all of them, and you guys can like P. McKee's like working up this like really crazy like sponsorship thing, so you can like sponsor whoever you want in the tournament. So I really want this to happen. So just letting you know, that's the stretch goal. If we hit it later this year, that'd be really cool to do for something to do. And then finally, we also have the next 2 months of Puckle giveaways figured out. We've decided to actually, because we found some ways around to make inserting Pokemon into the game a much easier process. We're deciding to actually give some rewards to the $5 tier as well for giveaways. At the $5 tier, next in February, you'll be getting Mew, the same one that we gave away this month. If you missed out and you're just like, man, I really want Mew, that's the way where you go. At the $10 tier, we're going to be giving away Shiny Obstagoon with a Flame Orb, because everybody's been like, I want Shiny Obstagoon with a Flame Orb. And then in March, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving away a fossil pack, four shiny fossils, essentially the four shiny fossils, Arctovish, Dracovish, Arctozolt and Dracozolt, shiny to the $10 patrons, and to the $5 patrons, you get to pick one. You get to pick one, and that's what you get. So I'm very excited to do that, though. I'm very excited to do that. So if you guys are interested in joining the Patreon for those or just to help out the show, that'd be great. I think we're also going to have some more news about another Patreon push to get the rest of the badges so that Puckle can have a full set of 10 badges for Puckle Summer League this year.
Mm-hmm.
So keep posted on that. But yeah, that's all the Puckle news. We're going to go ahead and kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. So that means they can't use whatever is on the computer. They got to use what's in their heads and what they know. All of these questions are brought to you by the Puckle community. You guys can go submit questions too over on the Puckle Discord over at the link in the show notes. I can't just like list off a bunch of random letters to you and then hope you join. It's also on the website, so you can go and check it out over there. So there are going to be 5 Pokemon themed questions that these guys can get. One of the questions has a bonus point in it, so they can get another bonus point. And if they don't use their lifeline, which is a hint, they can cash it in for an extra point if they get all the questions correct for a possible total of 7. They are competing against their fellow co-host in a race to 30 points to win $20 credit to I don't know what. And as always, this is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com. They're your one-stop shop for everything nerd-centric, and they just have cool art all around, so you should definitely go check them out. They're also just lovely people.
The nicest people.
They are legitimately just the nicest people. So, on that note, let's jump into it. Our first question this week is going to come from Lord Snorlax. Lord Snorlax wants you guys to answer, what type can get the highest stat multiplier on a single move?
Okay, does it only count the target, not the target receiving the damage, right?
No, it can't. No, it counts that too.
Okay, so
it needs to be able to get multiple boosts onto a single target.
Right, and I assume that this doesn't mean like rock because rollout has the highest boost, right?
It would.
You have to be globally available to that type.
It has to be globally available to that type. Yes.
Okay.
So I assume it would have to be weather or terrain.
I think it has to be either fire or water.
Well, because of the electric, doesn't terrain also do 50%?
Yes, but then you get things like flash fire and specifically you get rain plus aqua bubble or water bubble. That's the name of the ability.
Oh, I think is water bubble just like 50% or is it a full 100?
No, it's a full, it's a 50% boost, but it's a 50% and then you get stab and then you get rain.
It might be water, actually, because adaptability Crawdon.
I feel like because it's water. Unless they also include fire for dry skin, but I don't think they would. I don't think that counts.
Stuff like that would count, like on the opponent would count as well, yes. Things on the opponent.
Oh, then it's fire. Then it's fire.
Because it's dry skin. Dry skin just gives it a weakness, effectively, correct?
Yeah.
But water can be quad weak. There's no Pokemon with dry skin that's quad weak to fire.
Yes, there is. There's Parasect.
Oh yeah, it does get that. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. What's a Parasect?
I remember doing this back in... So unless it's changed... it's fire because of Tarshot.
Oh, Tarshot. Makes it weak again. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just weakness. A times 2 multiplier. It doesn't make it, like... up a step, so to speak. It's fire. It is fire because of Tarshot.
Fire is correct. It can get like a times 36 multiplier or something like that. You can
make sense.
If you're in harsh sunlight against a dual type Pokemon whose both types are weak to fire type attacks and an ability like Dry Skin or Fluffy, and it also affected by Forest Curse.
Ah.
That would result in a times 24 multiplier. And the effects of Flash Fire and Blaze can further boost it to a 36 times power multiplier.
And then Tarshot to another...
Yep.
72?
Yep.
Because that would be another times 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 72. Cool. There we go. We did it, team. Yeah, that's correct. That's 1 point. 1 for 1.
Yeah. Oh, great. That was just the first question.
Question number 2 is from the boy Gardevoir. Which type has the least number of moves?
If it's not dragon, dragon's high up there.
Would fairy be there too? I know they changed moves to fairy.
But not enough. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of
overall. Either dragon or fairy. Because steel got a bunch of weird stuff throughout the generations. Dark got so many moves changed to it.
Yeah.
It couldn't be ghost, would it? No.
No, ghost has a lot of status moves too and stuff, I thought.
Enough, I think. Because I know dragon only has damaging moves and one non-damaging, which is Dragon Dance. It's the only one.
No, so it's got Clang or Soul now, too.
Oh, right.
There's a couple, I think, like, status moves they have, but not many. Like, it's definitely less than five. I kind of actually want to say Dragon, because I think Fairy's got a lot more status moves and such now. And do they have... Oh, I don't know.
I think Fairy
might...
Dragon.
Fairy might... Yeah, I'm comfortable with Dragon. What else? Signature moves. There are, like, Roar of Time and Spatial Rend pop into mind.
Okay, but then there's Eternabeam and Dynamax Cannon, but I can't think of any others.
Breaking Swipe got added, but that's not a signature, of course.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable saying Dragon as well. Like, I feel like Fairy could beat it, but, like, I think it's a 50-50.
But that got things like...
It did get random. It got a lot more status moves than offensive. That's the difference. Like, Dragon's a lot more offensive, but, like, barely any status.
Yeah, I say Dragon.
Dragon is unfortunately incorrect. It's number two, though. It's got 25 moves total. There is one type with 23 moves total, and it turns out to be Rock type. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
There aren't, because Rock type, so the difference between Rock type and Dragon type is Rock type only has two special moves, like, total.
Right, Ancient Power and Power Gem.
Yep, those are the only two. And so they get screwed over there. So you guys are one for two. Our next question, as always, is a Pokédex entry. This one is going to be from She. Its Pokémon Shield entry reads, "With the mouth on its belly, this Pokémon swallows its targets whole. The soul is the only thing eaten. This Pokémon disgorges the body before departing."
Dusknoir.
Yep. It's Dusknoir. Play that Macarena.
Dusknoir is correct. There you go. That you're two for three now. And because you guys missed out on a question, you guys can actually get a chance for 3 points here in question number four. Based on what you do here. So in question number four, this one's going to be, let's see, who do you like better, Murray or Liger? Let's see.
Don't hurt me, Murray.
Murray it is! In the Generation 4 games, certain NPC trainers will join you temporarily. Name all of the Pokemon that they use, all of their signature Pokemon.
Conquest?
No. In Generation 4, you had NPC trainers that would join you. Name their Pokemon. No. For the first two, you'll get a point for the first four. Two at a time, and then if you name all five, you get 3 points.
Oh, there's five of them? Okay, Lucario, Chansey, Arcanine, Kadabra...
Claydol. What was the other one?
With Claydol.
That was five. You named five.
No, and before that, Shamu. I missed it. I couldn't remember.
Oh, I thought I said Claydol.
Yes, what did you say instead?
Arcanine, Kadabra, Chansey, Kadabra. Yeah. Lucario. Because that's Riley. Riley's Lucario, Cheryl. I don't know who had Claydol, though. I don't remember who had Claydol.
That was Buck.
Oh, Buck. Buck. Yeah, he had Claydol. Yep.
There you go. That's all five. Have 3 points. Good job, guys. It was Cheryl with Chansey, Buck with Claydol, Marley with Arcanine, Riley with Lucario, and Mira with Kadabra. So there you guys go. That's 3 points for you. So you guys are five for four once again. Unfortunately, you can't cash your hint in, but good enough. This next question is going to be from the new trivia master himself, Ribby. It's a base stat question. And he wants to know which grass-type Pokemon has the highest base stat total of all grass-type Pokemon, including Pokemon from all time. This is all-time Pokemon.
I assume this includes Megas, too.
Yeah, so we're including Megas. Let's just... In forms,
okay,
yes.
First off, we use the hint because there's no reason
we can't,
not to.
Just...
It's a dual-type, and it's above 600.
That would mean a Mega.
Probably.
Well, probably. Like, I don't think any other Legendary, even in the... Like, there's Virizion and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's
Grass-type
Legend, for
Virizion. But they're not really above 600, I don't think. Or they might just be up at that point. I assume it's a starter. What megas are there? Then, like, Venusaur
there's
and Sceptile.
There's Mega Venusaur. That's...
Ring out. Are there any other, like, really? Grass... Like...
It's like Boo grass
exists,
types are...
But Boo doesn't hit above that... Like, not that high above. I think the mega that are above Boolu.
Yeah, no, Boolu's only 570.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Oh, Sceptile, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Mega Sceptile and Mega Venusaur are there.
And I know... Because I know... Doesn't Venusaur have the lowest base stat total of the starters? Because it evolved the earliest?
It makes sense, I think. I think Sceptile also has a higher... Just because it's offensive stats and speed. And I think, like, that overshadows its, like, lower defenses by a lot more.
Yeah, and I can't think of any, There weren't any grass-type cover legends, so...
No, and I'm just trying to think of any other...
Which is disappointing. They're like, slowly but surely getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We didn't have a poison-type legendary until this generation.
Yeah, and we didn't have a cover... We didn't have a fighting-type cover legend until this one, either.
Is Shaman... What's Shaman Skyform's DB?
It was the same. It was 600.
Oh, 600. Yep, same. Yep, it's just redistributed offensively. That's correct. Okay, I forgot. I'm not thinking of, like, all these things. It's probably Mega Sceptile.
Yeah, I can't think of anything better.
Mega Sceptile is correct. So you guys got yourselves 6 points today. That sets you up real cushy, at least for Shamu, and I guess Linian as well.
Hey.
We're gonna sort these columns. And right now our trivia standings are Linian in first place with 12 points, followed by a two-way tie for second between Whimsicott and Shamu at 6 points, followed by Sublime, Seth Vilo, and R Sigma all tied for fourth, I guess, with 5 points. It's still anybody's game. We still have people yet to get on the board. On that note, though, we are going to take a short break and yell at you about some iTunes stuff, and we'll be right back with the topic. I also enjoy the fact they're opinion. I don't always agree with them on their opinions, but I still respect what they have to say. I get the feeling of respect. Very cool, great job, guys. And that's it. If you guys want your iTunes, Castbox, or whatever you do right on the show, just leave them and we'll get to them eventually. So we appreciate it, guys. Thanks again. We're going to keep on. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be DLC we want in the future. Things we'd like to see from future DLC. I'm still like dumbstruck by this concept that DLC is happening for Pokemon. Because one, it's just like a really good relief after the whole Dexit thing.
Mm.
And two, it's something that we've wanted for a while, I think. Including like the 3DS. Like the 3DS, I think a lot of the consensus from the community, if you listen to a lot of them complain about Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, they go, this should have just been DLC. And then for some reason, there's a contingent of the internet that's upset that we got DLC. I don't understand. It's fine.
You'd hope they're not the same people, but.
Yeah, you'd hope. But you know, there's at least one. There's at least one. They just want to be outraged. And this has just gotten me thinking, like, over the past few weeks, like, what else could they do with it? You know what I mean? Because, like, we've got the Isle of Armor, which we're getting... First of all, we're getting really cool, like, mythical stories, which I know Linny and I were on the same show for that. And we talked about how we wanted them to fix mythical Pokemon, and they just did it. I think they did it wonderfully here. Now, my first idea that I want to throw out there is I think it'd be really cool because we had that really cool year of mythicals back in 2016. Because they were celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. 2021 comes along, 25th anniversary of Pokemon. New DLC with the remaining mythical Pokemon that we don't have.
Hmm.
And you actually like have a little story that you go to collect them all with.
That
I think that would be really
cool. The
anime
shows up, the one who's all about catching the mythicals. Yeah, Go. Go shows up.
Go shows up. I think that would be really interesting though. Like you could have like a little story because I think the ones that they would probably leave out are Mew, Celebi, Jirachi, because those didn't. But like, I think it's something like the Delta episode where we got like story to go with Deoxys.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that times I don't know how many mythical Pokemon we're missing, but like times that to an extent, right? Or you could even have some like really cool crossover with some of their stories intersecting, which would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like it'd be really cool to see like Victini and Keldeo like working together on something.
Yeah, the American Revolution.
It would just be really cool to like to see them demythical the mythical Pokemon.
Right. Make them more consistent.
Yeah. I because the only reason they've been banned from online play in the past has been you have to get them from an event.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think we're over the age of events now in video games.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really cool to just be like, you can get them in DLC. Boom. Mythical Pokemon are the stars of DLC. And Galarian Slowpoke. Galarian Slowpoke is also the main character of DLC. But I mean, we're obviously missing 200 Pokemon. I'm hoping something happens in 2021 or after Crown Tundra.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
There's something that I would wish for in DLC going forward that may already exist. We don't know enough about Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra.
That's true.
But it would be that you each expansion area would pick a different, more recent generation of Pokemon and give us Galarian or whatever forms of something else. So let's say
I hope
they go Isle of Armor. This is all generation 6 lines that are now being tweaked, or generation 7, like really new designs that people are still kind of getting used to, and then spinning them again. We know that there's...
I don't know if they'll do it for Gen 7, but it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, Gen 7 might be too much.
I am hoping that we get more, because I think right now, like, in terms of just, like, regional forms, quote-unquote, I think outside of Gen 1, I think we have, like, Zigzagoon and, like, Yamask.
No, because we also have Weezing.
Yeah. Weezing and... No, Weezing's at Gen 1.
Blah, blah, not Weezing. Darmanitan. Why did I say...
Darmanitan. Darmanitan's the other one. But it's like Gen 5 and Zigzagoon.
And Stunfisk and Corsola, which is Gen 2.
Oh, that's true. We did get Corsola. That's right.
Yeah, we got some newer gens.
I'd love to see some like
Gen 4 love.
Gen 4, I don't even know, because like the problem with Gen 4 is Gen 4, it has like a roster of like 107, well, right? Yeah. That's what they say, like 107 Pokemon, but like 25 of them are evolutions from previous generations.
Yeah, but you still got your Floatzels. You still got your
25 of them are previous evolutions. You have the Lake Trio, which isn't going to get touched. You have, though, granted, I think Galarian, hopefully those are the Galarian legendary birds, which is kind of cool.
Galarian Luxray. Yeah. That's all I want. Give me Galarian.
Galarian Luxray. Dude, I'm so surprised Luxray didn't make it in of like all Pokemon.
Luxray just need a revamp overall. Move pool and like, the, yeah. like everything.
Just literally just make it, give it a little bit more speed and give it dark type. And I think you have a really cool Pokemon.
It needs moves. It's yeah. like, it's got some, but its move pool is just, you know what it's running.
The problem is it's physical electric. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah. So here's what you do. You give it wings, you make it a Griffin, give it Bolt Beak.
Oh my gosh, that'd be cool. I don't know how I feel about giving Fishious Rend and Bolt Beak to other Pokemon.
Tapu Koko with Bolt Beak. Come on, guys.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to be completely honest.
You should feel afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I want that.
Just give it, like, Wild Charge, like, 10 base power or less. Or not Wild Charge, but Volt Tackle.
Volt Tackle? Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, we are getting new moves, apparently, like, according yeah. to the DLC thing. So, I mean,
new
that's not...
New moves are being able to be learned via tutor. One yeah. or the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe, probably both.
It's probably a combination of both. They're going to add new moves. I mean... It would be stupid if Urshifu didn't get a new move. You know what I mean?
We know that it's got a new ability at the very least.
Yeah. I think they give Urshifu like a new move that's like has to do with its fighting style or something.
It might be like two new moves, one per style. Because one of them's like a multi-hit and another mm-hmm. one's just a strong, I think.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Because, well, we know the multi-hit thing, it's what it's supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be attacking with multiple swift-hitting moves or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah,
so there's
yeah.
single strike, and then there's flowing strike style?
Yeah, huh. something like that. Single strike will probably just... I feel like single strike will probably be, like, high crit ratio or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'll probably be more Giga Impact. So I think we'll get...
It could be that, too.
Get Dark-type Giga Impact for single strike, and we'll get Water-type multi-hit for flowing strikes.
We already have a water type multi strike.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, except it'll be physical, 25 base power, and not priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not priority. It's probably pretty big.
Yeah, it's going to be fighting type and not actually like the new type. It's just going to be two different fighting types.
Two fighting type moves. I could totally see that. I could totally see them doing that. I could totally see that. The other
or
thing.
Or I'd like maybe a two turn fighting move for the single strike.
Mm. I still don't like that, but like, I don't like two turn mirrors.
I don't like it either, exactly, but.
But they could do it. They could do it.
They have Focus Punch. If we do a recharge, if they go fighting type, we already have a recharge now in Meteor Assault.
Mm-hmm.
What if he gets Meteor Assault and that's like their gimmick? They're just like, he gets Meteor Assault too.
But the thing is, Meteor Assault.
Poor Sirfetch'd.
I guess.
Sirfetch'd gets a short-lived, he gets a short-lived.
Signature?
Signature move. That's not, well, to be fair, Sirfetch'd isn't good, so.
Yeah.
It's slow. That's its downfall though. If you give it a band, it's got Scrappy. It's other than, like, it breaks walls. Like, no business.
I mean, I believe that if it doesn't die.
That's the issue. It's.
Yeah. The problem is it came in the same generation as Dracovish.
Yeah.
The wall breaker.
Yeah.
And it's slower.
Yeah.
And it's slower.
Yep.
Another DLC I'd really like to see, and I've talked about this, I know to Shamu before, but I really want to see, like, I think it'd be really interesting if they're trying to add, like, more than just Pokemon to these DLCs, right? I think it'd be really cool to just start seeing them bring back old mechanics as well, like Mega Evolution particularly.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool just to have, like, a DLC where, like, you run into Dexio and Sinnoh, because there's no other way to introduce Mega Evolution. And they teach you about Mega Evolution. They're like, your Dynamax band can do similar things, just like the Z Crystal bracelet.
And they just tweak it.
And they tweak it, and then they hand you an Alakazamite, and then you go off on this adventure. And the way I really see it playing out, because you can make it really cool story heavy, is there's another person who heard about it, and they're also going to collect the stones.
And his name is Elaine.
And they want to take on, well, they want to take on, like, the gym challenge. They're like, this is my way to win. You know, if this is better than Dynamax, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you're competing against this person. It's like, imagine, like, hot battles, but every time you play against him, there's a different Mega Pokemon he uses.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you and him are just going around collecting, like, the 40-some Mega Stones.
And then when you get to the end, you use a gigantic water shuriken on him, but he cheats and beats you.
You want to know what, actually? Along that line, they could do better with that. A, depending on your version, depend on your Megas. B, ooh. Your rival is not just some random person, it's Avery or Clara. They already released those two as your rival and trainer and partner for the other one.
Oh, it would make sense to
carry
cool.
them over.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it would be a good way to give you AZ Floette, finally, after 3,000 years.
AZ Floette!
There's some guy working at Game Freak right now taking notes right now, okay? He's taking notes.
That's what they would do. Like, I feel like if we're, because they make more DLCs, they're probably going to, I think their best interest would be keeping Avery and Clara, or bring back, like, Hop or, like, Marnie or Bede to do another, like, one-off with them. Ooh. To make their characters more throughout, though they are gym leaders now, they have responsibilities, but they can always make a carrot cameo. Or they can make it before in the timeline. They could be it, like, not after the story, but, like, sometime in between the story or something like that.
You could do it like Piers, like, you know how they don't Dynamax?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Spikemuth, he could be like, well, I'm trying to find some other thing that I can use. And he's like, Mega Evolution seems to be that thing. And, like, that would be really cool.
I think something I really want, and kind of playing off the gym leaders coming back, or the, you know, them coming, you said, oh, maybe not when the gym leaders, they have responsibilities. What if you had something where it's like, hey, something really bad is happening. We need you guys to go out and stop it. So we're sending the champion and all of the gym leaders out. That's the narrative hook.
Oh, so it would kind of be like that post game section where you, like, go to every gym and, like, you fight a Dynamax. But
yeah, but instead you're like
better done well.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there is a serious problem. A legendary or some Pokemon are out of control in this. This area, we need you all to go. So you basically suicide squad with the eight gym leaders. You finally have some time to develop Melanie and Gordy and Alistair and B.
Even better, you do minor league gym leaders that were never in the game.
This is Slipknot, the trainer who can climb anything.
And they give him no backstory.
And
they
kill
give
him
no
off
backstory
immediately.
Because they kill him off immediately. Yep, exactly. No explanation.
Because I know one thing they also confirmed with it, though. We had all those uniforms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then now that with the new DLCs, at least, they kind of confirmed, like, hey, guess what? Avery and Clara, they each got one, so they might be slowly doing that, too.
I think so, because, I mean, I think that brings us, I think we have 10 official ones in the game right now. And then with Clara and Avery, you've got
12.
you got 12, and so I mean we still have six more to play with, and that's definitely something that they could expand on, right?
Yeah,
because I wasn't expecting them to use those, because personally I think if you look at the designs on those uniforms compared to the uniforms of gyms that we have in game, you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah.
In the design, but I'm okay with them doing it. Like, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah,
but I just don't know if they thought about it.
Avery and Clara's designs are just like the other gym leaders. It's some flair over the actual normal gym uniform for that type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes me think they might be the gym leaders of those gyms in the game, or at least gym
trainers. Well, I think that's the point. I think that's at least the point.
I don't think it was the gyms in game. I thought they said that they are the person training with you. They aren't. I don't think they ever said they were a gym leader.
Yeah, they never said that, but it could be interesting to see. That's
and they I'm only thinking. Refer to like a dojo. I don't think they ever said they were gyms in the DLC.
No, they never did, and no one's. We're not saying that either.
Okay, because that's how it came across.
That's not what we're saying right now. What we're saying is that they're trainers, and they could be the people who are training. Like, they're the minor league versions, essentially. And they're trying to train up to be like in the major leagues, because the minor leagues have like this one throwaway sentence, and like they mentioned it in like interviews and stuff like that. So it'd be really interesting to see that part fleshed out a little bit more, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. maybe you do a DLC where like there's a gym in like the Pokemon equivalent of Ireland, and you're helping that gym become a full a major league gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they kick out, I don't know, if it comes down between like them and Bead, so you get more Bead like moments. or something like that could be cool. And then like what ends up happening is like one of the old gym leaders like ends up stepping down. Like Pierce is just like, we're gonna step down, you know.
Well, Pierce's whole thing was because he didn't want to do that, he needed someone to take over, so he gave it to Marnie.
Yeah, that's true.
I can see Kabu dying, he's old enough.
That's true. Kabu could be like, I'm retiring or something like that. and like, yeah, I could definitely see something like that. That would be interesting. It would be very interesting to see that all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of paths. Like, they left Sword and Shield. Like, I don't think that last half of the game was put well together, but I think they did a very good job doing world lore and world building.
Yeah.
Compared to previous Pokemon entries. And I think that it leaves them open for, like, a lot of really cool DLC that we probably won't get and I'll get really disappointed about. But I think there are a lot of open doors. There's a ton of open doors. I would love to see, like I said, like that mega arc. It would be really cool just to see a mega arc. Maybe there's a gym, like, a random gym that you go and you fight against that's like trying to get in. I don't know. I keep thinking about like gyms and like how that plays into the world. Maybe almost in the same vein as like the gym that existed, the Cantonian gym in Alola.
Right.
Something in that vein almost. It would be interesting.
I think they have real potential. If they do things post game, I think it really gives them a potential to do something they never really kind of did a little in Sun and Moon, but haven't done elsewhere. Which is to lean into the fact that at the end of the game, you are recognized as the strongest trainer. And that probably would come with responsibilities. And I would like to see them kind of go into that a bit.
Yeah, because they're not really talking about that with the Crown Tundra and the Isle of Armor. These are like games that are like outside of the timeline of the game.
Well, it looks like Leon sends you to the to the Isle of Armor to train with his mentor, a former champion. I think how they're going to spin that is, hey, you're the new champion of Galar. You might want to train so that you can be, you know, you can fill that office. Here, go to the guy who trained the previous one and was one himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they plan on that being accessible like as soon as you hit the wild area, regardless of where you are in the game. And so I don't know how they, like, narratively, I can see them just trying to make it, like, that could be the headcanon when you go and do it in post-game.
Mm-hmm.
But they could also have it be, like, oh, Leon's sending you there to train with a person that he trained with, like, while you're still on your journey.
I just think that's going to suck for the difficulty curve.
I don't know what the difficulty curve is going to be whatsoever. What I'm expecting is, at least for, like, Isle of Armor, for myself, difficulty-wise, what I fully expect is I'm going to get Kubfu, and he's going to essentially be my equivalent of a starter, and I'm going to go party.
Right? I think that might be what they also kind of intend on, too, if you can do that. Like, if you beat the game, hey, guess what? We're giving you this low-level Pokemon.
And maybe there's a Kanto starter involved as well, you know? Maybe a Kanto starter's involved as well, because they're giving you a Gigantamax Blastoise and Gigantamax Venusaur at the same time.
Unfortunately, they may also, I don't know if they would. But they, I don't know, I doubt they would force you to use only Kung Fu.
Oh yeah, I doubt it.
I could see a slight margin of that happening.
Well, the second Kung Fu touches my team, it's getting 1,000,001 EXP candies.
Yeah, well, no, the second Kung Fu touches your team, Kung Fu is going to get 1,000,000 experience points for touching, like, any Pokemon, because not only with that DLC do you get Kung Fu, but you also get the experience charm.
We don't know how we get that, though.
Yeah, that might be for beating it.
That's true. That's true.
And that might be for beating it and then also completing the deck for that DLC.
That blows my mind. Like, I don't know that I need more experience. Like, there's already a lot of experience.
I understand it completely when trying to get Pokemon leveled up for battle, because I ran out of candies. And once you run out of candies, for getting up to a good amount of candies is kind of hard and time-consuming.
It is. Thankfully, I do the Patreon raid nights, and so I've got plenty of candy.
Yeah, and I've been raids for 4 hours, and I have, like, 30, because these raids take forever solo.
Yep,
some of them do.
And even then, so it's, like, the same amount of time doing it multiplayer.
I think the problem is, like, I would much rather have, I don't know, I want legendary raids. Like, I can't wait for the Crown Tundra legendary raids, where hopefully, like, the rewards are better and they're more involved.
I mean, Isle of Armor raids might give, like, 4 times candy, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. I'll hold my breath for the one where it's just like, we're going to change the mechanics. Like, I'll hold my breath for that one. And I don't know. I think they're trying to add, like, a new mechanic as well with these DLCs. Like, these DLCs are adding more than Pokemon and more than, like, mythicals. And so I just think to myself, like, what else would be cool? And I think that's a cool, maybe we can get, like, I mean, as much as I don't want them to come back, like, maybe we get a Z-Move Island too. I really don't want that. I do like this DLC though. And I'm disappointed that it's nothing like I still want to this day. I would love to go back to Kalos.
It would be fun just to revisit it because it's very underwhelming in a way.
I'd love to revisit it because it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
It felt very much like Galar, and that we're just like, oh, there needs to be more here. And then they did do that for Galar. It's like the epitome of what we've been waiting for in Pokemon is for Galar to is for like the completion of a region that wasn't fully thought out. And that's kind of what we wanted in Kalos. And it would be nice to just see Kalos again and maybe some of that fleshed out. I don't know. Like, you have the map done. You do have to translate it to HD graphics, but it could be fun. Mm-hmm. It could be fun. And maybe we get like Kalosian forms of some of the newer Pokemon, like Lydian was talking about, like some of the newer Pokemon that didn't get regional. Like you can get Kalosian form of some of the Gen 7 Pokemon. Granted, most of the Gen 7 Pokemon are like Ultra Beast or Legendaries, but
I want to see a Steenie that is based off of a different fruit. That could be hilarious. Give me a watermelon Steenie.
And it's a water type? Boom.
Sure, water grass.
Yeah, we could use more water grass types that aren't just pineapples.
Could I always take a trip to Sevii Island or the one island in Gen 4?
Sevii Islands are gone forever, okay? Sevii Islands are gone forever.
Do they have to be, though?
I wish they weren't, because, like, I was really disappointed to hear, like, well, I wasn't disappointed. I fully expected Let's Go to be just, like, the purest remake that a remake could be. And I'm like, they're not even going to touch the Sevii Islands, because the Sevii Islands, like, if you want to talk about remakes and things done right, Leaf Green, Fire Red by no means were, like, the perfect remakes of a Pokemon game. They were the first, but like the Sevii Islands addition to that, to the plot, everything in the Sevii Islands is cool and memorable in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see some kind of addition to that. And I think we're kind of getting that to an extent, like with the Isle of Armor.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of getting that. So I don't want to hold my breath for Sevii Islands to come back, but at least experiences like the Sevii Islands are coming back. We're also in a different place than I think the typical Pokemon fan, because we're the fan that goes, man, we really like callbacks.
You are the fan who really likes callbacks.
Yeah.
Shamu is too.
Yeah.
I really like callbacks. And so I'd be perfectly fine with, like, I eat that up, you know, I'll eat it up. But I understand at the same time they want to move forward and try new things. I still wait for the day where I can, like, go back to regions, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was hands down the reason why Gold and Silver were so cool and why Heart Gold and Soul Silver are some of the best-selling Pokemon games.
Mm-hmm.
And most memorable. So I think, I hope they take that lesson, especially if they're doing DLC. Like, hey, let's do a region. Let's just send somebody back to a region, right?
It would have to be a limited part of one, though.
It would have to be limited. I do agree with that. I mean, if you do like Kanto or Johto, those regions are definitely smaller. And I think you can do it. I mean, you could definitely do Kanto right now. The problem is if you give me a modern Kanto that's not, like, framed as a remake, I'm gonna go, well, Johto's right over there. Just let me go.
I don't want to go back to Kanto ever again.
I'm done. No, I'm talking about I'm done with Kanto. But, like, it would be cool. I mean, Hoenn's not that ginormous either.
It is?
It's just mostly water. You can shrink the water down. Groudon took over. You can walk on the water now, you know.
I think you just made it bigger, or whatever Team Magma's plan was. That's not very
clear. Sinnoh is pretty big. Sinnoh's where it starts to get pretty big, though, in my opinion. Because, like, Hoenn, you can still run around the region within a reasonable time.
Mm.
But Sinnoh is where it starts to get to be a pain to run around the region. You just have to look at the size of the average patch of grass, I think. And then you get that feeling. But I think this is a good place to stop. I think there's plenty of avenues they could go. I'd like to see them do it, and we'll see how it goes in the future. Hopefully they're listening. I know they listen. There's some guy that took some notes, and they're gonna be like, "Good, thanks, Thatch. We're gonna fix that for you." So
they're gonna listen to one fan out of like 2 billion. Okay.
Yep.
Well, we said that we don't hate them, so they're clearly listening to us.
Yes. Yep. So on that note, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's PUCL, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Episode. And welcome back to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 110, Weezing, the poison gas Pokemon.
Long ago, during a time when droves of factories fouled the air with pollution, Weezing changed into this form for some reason.
For some reason.
We don't know.
Does it actually just say that? The shield entry does say that. It just changed into this form for some reason. We don't know.
What do you think we are, scientists?
Yes, I would hope. Galarian Weezing's interesting. I don't know if it's good. I don't want to say it's good.
Yeah, it uses. It's not bad, but it's a deep, like it's
amazing. Neutralizing gas is okay. And its move pool is interesting.
I'd run Levitate over that personally, but all its abilities have uses in one way or another.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with Levitate to an extent. It being like, I think 75% of the time levitates the ability you want over neutralizing gas. Neutralizing mm-hmm. gas, I think we'll see more play in something like doubles.
In doubles, definitely, because you can use a lot more shenanigans with it.
You can do
also,
more shenanigans.
Levitate can just like help us earthquake stuff, fun stuff like that. But
And the surge ability is always...
It's always nice to have access to it.
Yeah, Misty Surge. Yeah, I was really surprised to see that it gets Misty Surge.
Well, they had to get something.
Knowing that they gave it out, that's the thing I'd give Misty Surge.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Does neutralizing gas also get to go on to regular Weezing when it comes out? Or when we get access
to
it?
Yes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm into that. I'm really into that. That's cool. So on that note, though, we do have a team today. It's a team that I've been playing a lot with recently. And it's probably the one that I'm going to run for like a round or two in the UTC for funsies. It's a team based around Galarian Weezing. Galarian Weezing does not have great stats except for its physical defense, I guess. But its poison fairy typing is actually really unique and offers a lot of like odd resistances, which is really nice. I mean, Galarian Weezing is resistant to fighting to a quarter, bug to a quarter, grass half, dark half, and fairy half, which is just about the same number of things it's resistant to. It does get new weaknesses because I think it's only weak to it used to only be weak to psychic until levitate. But it does get the dragon immunity, which is really cool.
But it's really
an interesting Pokemon to play with. It's got a base like 120 defense, like I said, and that's about it. A base 90 attack, base 85 special attack. Its move pool is pretty deep, though. Like it's relatively deep, so he can do a lot. He is slow, base 60 speed, but it is what it is. And so, Weezing, we're running here with choice specs because we're gonna, his special move pool is much better than his physical move pool. And he also gets his own signature move this generation called Strange Steam, which is a fairy type base 90 move or 95 move. And it has a chance to confuse the opponent. It's just better Dazzling Gleam.
The only thing is that it's a 95 accuracy.
It is a 95 accuracy, so 1 out of 20 times you are going to miss and you're going to really hate yourself. And we're also running Sludge Wave for poison coverage. Fire Blast, because Weezing just traditionally has always run Fire Blast, and fire coverage is nice to have. And Shadow Ball, because it gets Shadow Ball, and you're running specs, so you need to get like something else that's going to be special. And it is fun to run. I don't think, for this team, I think Weezing's honestly the weakest member. We are also running a Seismitoad. Seismitoad is a lot of fun. It's running Water Absorb with Scald, Earth Power, Icy Wind, and Stealth Rock. Stealth Rock you actually really kind of like in Battle Stadium singles, I found. At least right now. It didn't used to be that case back in Gen 7. But like you really like Stealth Rock is like a nice little tech to have every once in a while because you see a lot of Cinderace, you see a lot of flying types running around. This is actually a really weird Seismitoad with a really specific EV spread. It's running 84 HP, 20 defense, 252 special attack, 20 special defense, 132 speed with an expert belt. The 132 speed allows it after it hits a Dragapult with an Icy Wind to outspeed Dragapult. That's what that 130.
They probably did. They probably went for that speed mark or that speed whatever that point, and then you just said, "I've got 40 left. Let me just make it bulk."
Yeah, I think that's what happened. They threw the 40
that's
left.
That's probably what happened. They just went for offense. They went for outspeed for that certain benchmark. And then they just said, let me just make it bulky as much as possible. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. It's usually what happens. You have like more HP and like a little bit of defense in each stat.
This is also a modest Seismitoad as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Take the next couple guys, Linian.
All right. It looks like that was just the most amount of ingenuity that they could come up with. So we've got some pretty standard support here. We have a Cinderace. It's got Blaze because Libero isn't out and it can't oppress us all yet.
It's still better than Greninja IMO because like the move pool isn't as bad as Greninja's.
Yeah, it is rocking a choice band. It's jolly. If you can't guess the IV spreads, that's a well. IV spreads, obviously. The EV spreads, it's 252, 252.
Yeah.
You're running Pyro Ball for that sweet, sweet fire stab. You're running High Jump Kick because mostly for Max Knuckle, but also, I mean, High Jump Kick's good.
It's decent coverage. It's decent coverage.
Yeah, it's good coverage. If you're banded, you don't necessarily want to be locked into that because Protect still hurts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's there. You've got U-Turn for dealing like a third of their health as they bounce out because this is fine.
It does so much.
Sucker Punch.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
It really does.
It does so much.
And Sucker Punch because there are times when you're going to want to click that. Dragapults especially. Dragapult hates Sucker Punch.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Sucker Punch, we are running a Focus Sash Bisharp here. And the Bisharp is 252 attack. 252 speed. It's adamant.
It's actually, I think it's 252 HP. Yeah. It's 252 HP.
Oh, I can't read.
It's fine.
Yeah, 252 HP. It's adamant. 4 speed. It's running Sucker Punch because, you know, you want Sucker Punch. Metal Burst, which is like Counter or Mirror Coat, except it hits either.
Yeah, it hits regardless.
It hits either, I think, only 1.5 instead of 2.
Yeah, instead of doubled. Mm-hmm. And then it's got Iron Head to eat fairy types alive on the Switch, I guess, to pressure things that are weak to steel. And then it's got guillotine.
For fun.
Because with the focus sash, you always get at least one attempt, and sometimes you just need to click guillotine.
I did it in a Bisharp v Biosharp today, and it landed. I was happy.
Well, they tend to run it just for those, like, wall that you don't have coverage for.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't have anything else to deal with you. Let me just go for the roll. That's why Lapras runs Shearcold, because, something they can't just deal with. So,
That's one of the reasons I really like this meta, because we don't have the one-hit KO clause like we do in OU.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I want to do right now? Put it all on red and spin the wheel.
Yeah. Let me take that 30% chance. Let's see what happens.
Also, hitting that on your opponent's Dynamax may actually cause them to uninstall the game. So,
that move is the a Pokemon equivalent of just saying, "Oh, so there's a chance." So there's a chance I could win.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance I could win. Shamu, take us
home. Heart of cards.
Okay. So then we have a Hawlucha, which is holding a life orb. It's adamant. It's limber, which I understand.
Oh, I know. It's not limber. It's not limber. It's mold breaker. All of those were me calculating. Yeah, no, I didn't care about abilities when I was just trying to find EV spreads.
I don't understand limber too, actually, because Grimmsnarl T-Wave, but
yeah,
it is mold breaker, I guess. It's got Brave Bird, High Jump Kick, Iron Head, and Swords Dance. You have the mold break with Iron Head to kill Mimikyu. It's almost standard to Hawlucha like that, or random unburdened sets exist too. Then you have a Rotom with a Citrus Berry. It's got Leaf Storm, Thunderbolt, Volt Switch, and Nasty Plot.
Yes.
And I assume it's 252, 252.
It's 252, 252. Oh, no, it's actually got, it's got, like, weird, like, 20 speed or something like that, and then all in HP or something like that. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird Rotom, but it works really nice. I didn't think I was going to like it as much, because, like, I see Rotom not wash as, like, a little frail boy. But I like Rotom Moe is my second favorite Rotom, design wise. My first love of Rotom is Rotom Fridge. They call him Rotom Frost, but in my heart he's Rotom Fridge. I want Rotom Fridge to be good one day, but he never will be.
He joins Arctozolt in the ice electric types that were way cooler in theory than practice.
I mean, it's an ice electric type, so there you go. I like Rotom Moe though. It works really well. Just whenever you need an electric type move, which is fairly often actually, especially with Dracofish being pretty prevalent. Seismitoad exists literally just to scare Dracofish. If with that, and I think another big one is what's it called? Gyarados.
Yep.
The only thing that you don't get a good answer for on this team, which I find, and it's very annoying, is Corsola.
Mm-hmm.
Corsola is just like the bane of this team's existence. So I honestly think that subbing out Weezing for something else might be a good way to go.
Technically, if we're going with this team alone, Weezing is your only answer to it.
And kind of, yeah. But you still
lose
to it.
You've got Spec Shadow Ball. That's like your best option
for
it.
You still lose to it.
I'm not saying you win.
So what you do is you get a Grimmsnarl and you trick on a ring target, and then you can kill it with Guillotine.
Or you just put a Grimmsnarl.
Yeah, Grimmsnarl.
You could do that. You could just slap a. You could do some rearranging with the team and do some stuff.
Yeah, I think the team is a good start. I think it definitely needs like a little bit of change.
You could rearrange it a little bit, make things work, maybe swap out a mon or two, and it.
I'm just gonna wait for home so I can get knockoff back on Bisharp. Yeah. Because Corsola leaves the meta when home comes out, I think, because knockoff becomes prevalent again.
Assuming that Seth's nightmare scenario doesn't come true, and anything that doesn't get it in the game doesn't get it.
No, because the reason that a lot of things got it in previous games was from TMs and move tutors that don't exist now.
Seth has predicted it.
You're assuming that TM and tutor comes back and that transfers.
I'm assuming
over.
Some precedent still exists, which is why we traded for Meowth in the game. The only thing that's programmed in to do is if it's a move that doesn't exist in Sword and Shield, it says, hey, you can't have this right now.
Right. I totally do not think it's correct. I just wanted to put
Seth
that
also
there.
Thought Armor Evolution was real, so I don't believe him.
We have the Isle of Armor. It's still possible.
It's still possible.
It's not happening.
What is
oh my
Slowbro,
gosh, shut
but
up,
an Armor Evolution?
Shut up, Seth clones. Shut up, Seth clones. But yeah, that's the team. Like I said, we're doing Pokemon giveaways again for the Patreon. It's a little bit different than it used to be. But if you want to join in on those and get some cool stuff like Dracovish Shiny, you could jump into our Patreon over at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. We are going to kick it on over to the mailbag. So let's do that. Kick it on over.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
You got me. To the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you
hopes.
And I'm disappointed in everybody because you never sent in an email because Seth used the same question as last week. So we have no emails to read. This is typically the part of the show where we read emails on the show. You can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com next week, letting us know what kind of DLC you would like to see in the future. What kind of cool things you might want to see that maybe we didn't talk about, like other than Watermelon Steenie, maybe you want to see. I don't know. Lillian was telling me off air about the Steel Bug Charger Bug.
Mm.
That would be cool. Or maybe Electric Steel.
The actual literal bus.
You can give him Levitate just to make fun of
He is just a bus. He is a bus.
And it's like 10 times the size of normal Charger Bug.
It's just bigger. Yeah, that's good. So instead, what we're going to do today, guys, is we're gonna end the show instead of by reading your listener emails, which you could totally have had read on the show today because we had plenty of openings. This is a first. This hasn't happened in like years that this has happened. This is a first. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play Pokemon 15 Questions, that classic game. Pokemon 15 questions, and so I'm gonna pull up an RNG thingamajigger for 1 to 890, and these two are gonna try to guess the Pokemon 15 questions.
15 yes or no questions.
Yes or no questions, and there's rules that I don't actually know, so you can probably break them.
It's fine. If you want more of this, you should listen to Game Corner. That just came out.
Yeah, there we go. So here we go. If you guys are ready, I don't know who you want to have go first. Maybe Shamu?
Let's have Shamu go first.
I don't know.
Shamu, you get to go first.
Oh, God. Do we care about the rules? Because I don't even know what the rules are.
The rules are basically you can't ask about Pokedexes. That's about it.
Pokedexes, yeah. You can't ask Pokedex questions.
So I can't narrow it down for regions?
Yeah, release. You can't do that. No, yeah, you can't do that.
That's basically it.
Do they share a type with any of the starter lines?
Do you have to define starter lines?
Yeah, you have to define that.
How about this? Do you mean fire, water, grass?
I mean any type that a starter has.
Then yes, it does.
So
that any starter could have ever had, yes.
That is yes, true. That's what I meant.
Yes.
Oh, okay, does that include Pikachu and Eevee?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Pikachu, well, yeah, Pikachu and Eevee are starters, yes.
Okay, but not necessarily their evolutions then.
It doesn't, not necessarily, but it can be their evolutions from how I understood the question.
That's how I was referring it. Oh, yes. That screwed up with Eevee. Then.
Okay, so it's all of the Eeveelution types, essentially. And poison, and flying, and ghost. And fairy. And fighting. How about, has this Pokemon evolved?
Yes, it has evolved.
Okay.
I don't know these questions. I'm just, because I can't narrow it down further. That's why I don't.
Okay. So we could start. Maybe. So it has evolved. Can it evolve?
Does it evolve by level?
That's fair.
Yes, it does evolve by level.
Okay.
So, saying this Pokemon can evolve by level, or did?
It did evolve by level. It had, like, that's the only way it can evolve from its previous form.
Okay.
That's three questions? Yes, three.
That's three. Can this Pokemon evolve?
No.
Okay, so it's the second of... It has evolved. It's either a final of three, or... So maybe we want to start narrowing down types a bit further. So asking, you know, a set of a few. Maybe if it has an immunity or something.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Is it immune to a type of move? Or do they have any immunities?
Yes.
Okay. So that means, let's see. So starter types, it would have to be flying, or Charizard, fairy.
Ground.
Well, it can't be ground. I can't think of a ground one.
Torterra.
Oh, right, Torterra. Ground, steel.
It can be any of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, flying, ground, steel, dark. Or fairy, or dark.
Flying, ground, steel, dark, or normal. Is this Pokemon monotype?
Yes.
So, flying, steel, ground, or dark.
It can't be flying, because it has evolved, can't evolve, and is a monotype, so it can't be flying.
Yeah. Is this a second stage evolution?
Do you mean by, like... So let's use TCG terms. Let's use TCG terms. Stage 2, stage 1, basic.
That's what I was saying. Stage 2, yeah.
It is not a stage 2, no.
So the 1-to-1, and then that's a... Okay. So...
So it is not a stage 2, is what you said, right?
Yeah, it's a stage 1.
Perfect.
How many questions is this? 7?
7.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a stage 1 of a starter type with immunity. Is this Pokemon a steel... Steel, dark, or normal type?
No.
Okay. So leaves us with ground, fairy, leaves us with ground, and fairy, I believe. Or ghost. I guess it could be ghost.
Yeah.
Well, we halved it.
Yeah.
So steel, fairy, ghost.
We're at 8 questions, so you're like just over halfway?
Yeah.
7 more to go.
Should we narrow down the types again?
Sure. Can't hurt.
Is it a...
I would just guess one type.
Well, if we guess, like, we could guess one or we could just guess two and narrow it down to one.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Worst case, we get it in one or we get it in two.
Yep.
Which is why you'd ask one.
Is it a steel or a ghost?
Yes.
Okay. Is it steel?
Oh, I see what you're saying there.
No.
Okay, so we know it's a ghost type.
That's 9?
Yep, right? That's 9.
So we know it's a ghost. It evolved by level. It's a 1-to-1.
I feel like we probably have enough to solve.
That's 10. That's 10 questions.
Yeah.
10 questions, yeah.
So we know it's a...
So, it's a ghost that evolves once via level. There's Bayonet for
there's
sure.
There's Cursola.
There's Cursola.
There's...
Is there anything else?
Cofagrigus. There's Poltegeist.
No, Poltegeist evolved by
oh,
item.
Oh, right, yeah. So it's Cofagrigus, Cursola, and we're dealing with mono ghosts.
Bayonet.
Because if we're down to 3...
That's the case. Is there anything else we can think of?
Yeah, and if I'm correct, Thatch, if I'm correct, if we guess the wrong thing, we lose, right?
Yes?
Yeah. So we have to... So basically, we just have to ask,
Find defining features, I guess?
Does
this Pokemon have another form?
Well, Cofagrigus doesn't. It has Runarigus, which is a different thing.
Oh, well, it would eliminate Bayonet then if
yeah,
it did.
Yeah, that would eliminate Bayonet.
Does it have another form?
No.
So it's one of those two.
So we've got Cursola or Cofagrigus. Does this Pokemon evolve only in one region? Or from Pokemon in only one region?
Are you asking if it's a regional?
Well...
Is that what you're asking, essentially?
Yeah, basically if it's Galarian Cursola. Does it evolve from a regional form?
No.
Okay, so we know which one it is.
So it's Cofagrigus.
Just ask it, Shamu. You have to ask.
Is it Cofagrigus?
Yes, it is Cofagrigus. Okay. You guys did it in 13, so like that's pretty good.
Yeah, certainly not bad.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I always find it amazing that we could do it in 13 questions. We can just nail down one of the like 890 Pokemon. But yeah, if you guys want more Puckle goodness and you don't want Pokemon 15 questions next week, send an email to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what kind of DLC you would like to see.
And if you do want more Pokemon 15 questions, go listen to Game Corner. It just came out. It was really good.
Yeah, I was on that one.
No, you weren't.
I think. No, I'm on next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. Go listen to this one. It's still good. And then you can also go ahead and you could support the show by going and following us on social media over on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever we still use, Instagram. So go on over to those things. Follow us, like us, do whatever you got to do. You can also go ahead and see more content from us over on youtube.com/PucklePodcast. You can also watch us on Twitch over at twitch.tv/PucklePodcast and support the show monetarily if you have a Twitch Prime subscription. We really appreciate it. You can also get a bunch of cool extras and help support the show by going over to TeePublic, purchasing Vite Ramen, the healthy ramen. Maybe I should put healthy in quotes, but the yummy ramen. You could, of course, support the show more directly by going over to patreon.com/PucklePodcast where you can get a bunch of cool things like... I don't know, like shiny Pokemon and getting to hang out for Patreon raid nights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's always a good time. I love Patreon raid nights. I get to just like hang out with the patrons and it's just a lot of fun. But on that note, I think that's everything that I usually cover. So I did that much faster than usual. I condensed it down. And yeah, I guess it's been a time here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower. I've been Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
And I'm Linian.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. We here at Puckle would like to thank all of our patrons who help make this show possible. Thank you to everybody there. Like I said earlier in the show, I believe, if not, I'm going to say it here now, we are going to be doing two giveaways this month. One for a Pokeball Plus Mew. You can get that at the $10 tier or higher, so you have to make sure you're there. And then we're also going to run another special where we're going to rerun the 6IV Ditto, 6IV Japanese Ditto that we did last month. Just because I see a lot of people are asking for it and I want to be able to do another run. We found a ways to alleviate some of the issues we had with the last giveaway. So, please be on the lookout for that. And if you're interested in getting a 6IV Ditto, this is a great way to come and do it. So without further ado, for those of you who updated your, Patreon status, thank you, because we did change up the tiers. The $1 and $3 tier no longer exists. It's just condensed into a $2 tier. So please make sure you change that. If you're at the $1 tier and you want your name read on the show, because without it, you won't be read on the show today. But thank you to Greg, Lane, Viger, Dooley, Dominic, Rob, JT Rex, Big Chonk, the Fluffiest Whimsicott, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Snickle, Rotted, Titan, Jesse, Piccolo, Ryan, Ed, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King, and Tank, Sheldon, Cordia, Claude, CR Perkins, Bodtech, Swampertata, Matt, Gary, Caleb, Jonathan, Merlander, Joshua, Zane, P. McGee, Robert, the Golden Klefki, it's your boy Trav, the British Gent, Brian, Dylan, Trevor, Sheon, TJ, Keegan, Peach, Doc Knox, Craig Krueger, Dennis, Farmer Fox, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Kelvin, Taylor, Amanda, Mike, Colt, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Michael, Tim, Equals, Dylan, Andrew, Justin, Old Man Tup, David, Harvey, Michael, Jordan, Andrew, Brock, Louise, Kevin, Nico, Hayden, Voltaire, Calvin, Jacob, Justin, Luke, Matthew, Neleb, South, Nicholas, Brandon, Locke, Holden, iStarly TV, Prime Rib, L. Feats, Jeremy, Launchpad McQuack, Gigantamax Metapod, Sammy, Graham, John, Greg, Alec, Christopher, Yegler, Mikey, Christopher, Bear, Kevin, Gonkorfishin, Chris, Dark Flame, Chris, again, two Chris's in a row, Halfle Reviews, Coop de Jarnock, Jordan, Shira, Zarni, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Orange, And that's it. So thank you to everybody who supports the show. Oh, and also Sparky, I apologize. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. We really appreciate it. And I hope to see you all on the flip-flop. We will be doing another Patreon raid night this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So please be there, and we'll hang out. We'll do some raids together, and we'll have some fun. So I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.